Messages morning is found in Jonah chapter 4. Cover the whole chapter, verses 1 through 11. Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Let's go ahead and pray. God, I thank you. God, I thank you for your goodness. God, I thank you for your mercy, that your mercies are new every morning, God. And God, I just pray in this time that you would be with us, that you strengthen us this morning, God, that our praises honor you. But God, I also pray now that we would just continue worship, God, that we would hear your voice. God, we would hear your word and how your word challenges us, renews us, how it penetrates us, God. So God, I pray that you, O Lord, would just touch us this morning, God, and you would transform our hearts. God, that our hearts would align with your heart, oh God. And I just pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Jonah chapter 4, starting in that first verse. But it greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, "Please, Lord, was not this what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish, for I knew that you are gracious and a compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, the one who relents concerning calamity. Therefore, now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for death is better to me than life." The Lord said, "Do you have good reason to be angry?" And Jonah went out from the city and sat east of it. There he made a shelter for himself and sat under it in the shade until he could see what would happen in the city. So the Lord appointed a plant, and it grew up over Jonah to be a shade over his head, to deliver it from his discomfort. And Jonah was extremely happy about the plant. But God appointed a worm when dawn came the next day, and it attacked the plant and it withered. And when the sun came up, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint and begged with all of his soul to die, saying, "Death is better to me than life." Then God said to Jonah, "Do you have good reason to be angry about the plant?" And he, meaning Jonah, said, "I have good reason to be angry even till death." Then the Lord said, "You had compassion on the plant, for which you did not work, and which you did not cause to grow, which came up overnight and perished overnight. Should I not have compassion on Nineveh, the great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know the difference between the right and left hand, as well as many animals?" So, despite Jonah being a prophet of God, he harbors a heart filled with anger and hatred. Both of these emotions are common human experiences. Yet we must recognize their destructive nature. Determining which is more harmful can be a challenge for us all. In truth, hatred and anger often coexist. Hatred frequently breeds anger, and anger typically fuels hatred. The core issue, however, is that anger and hatred rarely remain merely inner feelings or emotions that we keep suppressed. Instead, they often overwhelm us, spilling over into harmful actions, affecting both ourselves and others. Even if we don't lash out physically, our expressions of anger and hatred can severely damage our relationship with God and those around us. As the Bible states, hatred stirs up conflict, Proverbs 10:12. The question we need to reflect on this morning is, have we allowed the sin of anger and hatred to take roots in our souls? Has anger, hatred, or has some other thing caused your heart to be misaligned with the heart of God? I've entitled the message, When Our Heart Does Not Align with God's. And it was clear that Jonah's heart did not align with the heart of God. So often we, in prayer meetings, in our prayer time, that we pray to have the heart of God, we pray to have the heart of the Father, and we are passionate and we fast and we pray to have the heart of the Father. And here you have Jonah, a prophet of God, who is a reluctant prophet whose heart is nothing, nowhere near aligned with the heart of God. Our first point this morning is beware of a heart full of anger. Okay? Beware of a heart full of anger. I'm gonna read to you, and I don't normally do this, but I want to read to you a couple verses out of Jonah from the NLT, because the NLT really does a great job here in Jonah capturing the intent of the author. Starting at verse 1, it says, This change of plans greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry. So he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That is why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. Just kill me now, Lord. I would rather be dead than alive. If I predicted, will not happen. Jonah's heart was greatly troubled by God's mercy for Nineveh. So he became angry. Think about that. Jonah is so angry that God gave them mercy that he becomes angry and he lashes out at God. Now imagine a preacher gets up and preaches and has one of the most effective times in ministry ever in his life or her life. The preaching was so effective for Jonah that the whole city, including the king and animals, repented. The animals wore sackcloth. The king got off of his throne. And sat down in ashes and repented. He has an extremely, every preacher wants to have an effective ministry like this, but here Jonah becomes upset. He becomes angry. Why? Verse 10 in chapter 3 says it, sums it up. When God saw their deeds and that they had turned from their wicked ways, when God Then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. This is what causes Jonah to go off the rails. Okay. Jonah was really off the rails, but now he is really acting it out. Okay. Jonah's heart is so dark. It's filled with anger and hatred to the Assyrians so much that he is content. He is happy to see them destroyed. And he's a prophet. He's been called by God. He's heard the voice of the Lord. Under compulsion, he decided he had no other choice but to come. But when his ministry is successful, he is angry. Jonah's hatred of Nineveh blinded him, making him bitter and angry. Don't let, there's a reason why the Bible says in the New Testament, do not let the sun go down on your on anger, because it will take root in you and it will begin to
dark, it will blacken your heart and destroy, and it will cause you to misalign your heart with God, and you will not see things through a godly lens, and you will become bitter and angry, and you will lash out, and you will think you're justified to be angry. See, the world would tell you, Jonah, it's okay to be angry. Then the people of Assyria are terrible. They hinder God's people. They are going to destroy. They are going to come in and carry out the northern kingdom. And they're going to send them into exile. Jonah, you have a right to be angry. But God says, oh no, Jonah. No. You're looking at this from the wrong perspective. Your heart is not aligned with mine. Jonah's hatred of the Assyrians and Nineveh blinded him. And he's a bitter and angry prophet who doesn't even want a successful ministry. He's not the guy you want to be your pastor. Here's a pastor who does not want to have a successful ministry to see people change, to see people grow. Jonah's so consumed that by his anger that he prefers death to mercy and grace to those who hate he hated. Verse 2, he prays to the Lord. He says, please, Lord, was this not what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish. Jonah knew deep down in his heart that this was going to happen, but he's going to try to put it off by running away. He says, I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity. Therefore, now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for death to me is better than life. He says, God, I'm so angry. I'm in such a dark place spiritually and emotionally that I'm depressed that because in the success of the preaching and what has taken place, God, just kill me now. What does our heart look like when instead of allowing people to experience God's mercy and grace, that we want God to get them? Because what he really did, he wanted to show up and say, God, get them, wipe them out. Just let it be another Sodom and Gomorrah. Let fire rain down from the heavens. Let me. This is really why he's going to go out and sit outside of the city, because he's hoping that they will change, and that God will, as they change, that God will change his mind and that he will destroy the city. And he's so angry about it. His hatred for them is so deep that instead of allowing them to experience the grace and the mercy of God, he's just content. He's quite happy to allow them to be destroyed. How is your heart? Is it misaligned with God's heart? Is your heart so full of hate or anger that we want people to go to hell instead of finding Christ? Oh, God, you don't know what that person has done. You don't know the kind of things that they do. You don't know who they really are. God, I'm actually content. I'm quite happy to watch them die and burn in hell instead of letting them find the cross and be transformed and renewed. How is your heart? Think on that for a minute. Second point this morning is beware of valuing the wrong things. Here, let me actually show you real quick here on this map, okay? How far of this was. This was, so we think if you kind of look here, you look over here on the coast of Israel. And you got Jerusalem here, you go out to Gaza. If you go up the coastline, he's gonna try to flee from somewhere in here, okay? Doesn't get very far. He gets spit back up on the shore. He has to travel all this way over here to Nineveh. Okay, this was a several week journey to get there. And in this, he doesn't sit in this process, he does not take a time of reflection. He does not take a time of fasting. We know he's probably not going to pray, of saying, God, my heart, God, you have compelled me to go. I was thrown into the ocean, I was swallowed by a great fish, and now you are compelling me to go. God, let me get my heart right. He still holds on. This reluctant prophet still holds on to his anger in the hope that God is still going to get them. He is valuing the wrong things. Why? What Jonah values is his nationality, his people. And he says, what he's saying is, my people Israel and my nation and the things that I care about are more important than the things that you care about, God. They're more important than Nineveh receiving grace and mercy. What he really wants is their destruction. Verse 5. Then the people of Nineveh believed in God, and they called. Oh, sorry. Reading chapter 3, sorry. Verse four, chapter five, or chap, verse four, chapter, verse five, verse chapter four. Then Jonah went out from the city and sat east of it. There he made a shelter for himself, and he sat under it in the shade until he could not see, till he could see what would happen in the city. And the Lord God appointed a plant, and it grew over Jonah to be a shade over his head and deliver him from his discomfort. And Jonah was extremely happy. Verse 7, but God appointed a worm when the dawn came the next day, and it attacked the plant. And when the sun came up, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint, and he begged with all of his soul to die, saying, death to me is better than life. Jonah values his comfort instead of the transformation of his enemies. So he builds a shelter. Okay. He's outside. He's went outside of the city, on the east side of the city. And now he finds enough stones to build a shelter. And that shelter is actually where we get the word, you heard of the Feast of Abus, okay, or Sukkot, okay. It says that he built a booth or a Sukkot there, and he would build it from stones, and it's a small little enclosure to cut you kind of cover yourself, and then they would take leaves over and they would put it over, or maybe they might take cloth and it would put it over, and it would shelter them in this time of prayer, in this time of reflection. But Jonah's not having prayer and reflection. He's pulled up a seat on the edge of the city, and he's sitting out there for several days. Remember, he walks to the city for 3 days. He's going to preach, okay? And God, part of his preaching was, in 40 days, if you don't, God is going to destroy this city, okay? So Jonah is going to go out there for, 30 some days, okay? 35, 36, 37 days, and he's going to wait and see, and says what he's hoping for is, you know what? Nineveh will actually stop repenting, and they're going to go back to their sinful, their wicked ways. And then God is going to change his mind, and then I will have this nice little booth that I'm sitting in, and God is going to, he's just going to rain fire down from heavens or whatever it is, and the city will be destroyed, and I'll get to watch it from my nice little booth. So he values comfort instead of the transformation of his enemies. But God says, hey, Jonah, I need to teach you a lesson. Your value and comfort, your own personal comfort over the souls and the salvation of over 120,000 people. So that he actually has this plant grow up. We actually think it's a castor oil plant. If you go to the next slide here real quick, you can see it. This thing can actually grow up to 12 feet tall. The leaves can get quite big, and it would actually provide him very good shade to sit under. And it would make it comfortable because, as you know, if you can get the sun off of you, even if it's warm, it will drop several degrees while you're in the shade. And he's enjoying this. He's like, oh man, this is pretty good. It's comfortable. But God says, no, Jonah, you value this too much. He sends this worm, and this tree dies. You can go back. And the tree dies. Okay. This castor oil, we think is a castor oil tree, dies. He loses its shade. It withers up. And then God says, you know what? I'm going to send an east wind, okay, out of the east, and it's going to be scorching hot. And it begins to wear him out. And he's tired. He's becoming probably dehydrated maybe a bit. But we already know that spiritually, Jonah is smitten, just so misaligned and so far from God. He's in this place of where the sun's beating down on him. His emotions are going crazy. He's probably struggling with depression. And all of a sudden, he values his comfort more than the transformation of his people. Serious thing, do not let misguided values and theology lead you from God's heart. Sometimes we get so caught up in misguided values, political ideology, supporting this agenda or that agenda, okay? Or we build a theology that because we heard someone on YouTube and they espouse this and it sounds good, or it makes us feel good, and it doesn't align with God's heart, it doesn't align with His word. And what it does is it leads us down a dark path. No. Do not let your heart be misaligned from God's heart. You will miss what God's doing. You'll be frustrated. You might wrestle with sickness and everything else just because, and I'm not just about physical sickness, I'm talking about like just mental, where we're just struggling because deep down we're not where we're supposed to be. Doesn't matter what everyone else around you is doing. It doesn't matter what the world is saying. You have to be aligned with God. Your heart should be aligned with God. So what do you value that does not align with God's heart, does not align with biblical values? What is hindering us from hearing God's heart? Verse 9. Then God said to Jonah, do you have good reason to be angry about the plant? What he's saying, what he let me rephrase what he's really saying. Jonah, you have no good reason on this earth and in this time to be upset about the plant dying. He goes and says, then Jonah actually thinks he has a good reason. He says, I do have a good reason. God's questioning his reason. Then the Lord says, you have had compassion on the plant. You did not work for this plant, which you did not cause to grow. It just came up overnight and it perished overnight. Jonah, you did nothing for this plant. You didn't cause it to grow. You didn't plant the seed. You didn't water it. You have nothing invested in this plant. There's nothing there that you've done to cause this. You should have no tie to this other than your own personal comfort. He's valuing the wrong things. Our last point this morning, our hearts should be filled with mercy and compassion. Our hearts should be filled with mercy and compassion. Verse 11, should not I have compassion on Nineveh, the great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know the difference between the right and the left, as well as many animals? What he's saying there is there's 120,000 people, okay, in the city, and they don't know me. They don't know my ways. They don't have my law. They don't have my Torah. They don't have prophets in their midst to speak to them. We don't have a relationship. But yet you showed up, Jonah, and you preached, and they repented. There's a bit of a judgment here on Israel's part. He's saying, in a sense, what he's saying is, Israel, this Israel that you love, this Israel that you care about, and that you're upset about, that the Syrians have harmed and have, and they're going to send off into captivity these people that you love. They've had prophets. They have my word. They have my Torah. They've had prophets speak to them. I've been in their midst. I led their forefathers in the desert by a pillar of fire and a cloud, but yet they don't worship me all the same. And here, these people who had none of that, you show up, you preach, and they repent. Should I not have compassion on them? Nineveh did not have the history of salvation. They didn't have God in their midst. They didn't have his law to turn from sin. They turned from their sin because of the ministry of a reluctant prophet who hated them. Could you imagine that? God wants to see you come to know him, and he sends someone to you to preach to you who hates you. We would feel, I'm not accepting his message. He's supposed to be God's messenger. Okay? I'm not going to accept that because he doesn't like me. So, God, I'm not going to listen to your message. No, he sends probably the person who is maybe other than Jonah. We think maybe Jonah knows Assyrian. He's not qualified for this. He hates them. He hates them and he wants to see their destruction, yet God sent them. So imagine the kind of impact that we could have when we live with God's mercy and grace and we align our heart with him. Okay? If this is the ministry of a reluctant prophet who has to be compelled, who's full of hate, wants to see destruction, what can we really do in this world? When we show God's grace, his mercy, his love, we point people to the cross. I'm not saying that we don't tell people the truth, okay? I'm not saying we don't talk about holiness and God's justice and his standard, all of that stuff. But part of doing that, okay, is also showing compassion and mercy and realizing that we are sinners saved by grace, that the only difference between us and them is that we found the resurrected Jesus who has transformed us. But we don't always live like that because sometimes our hearts aren't aligned with God. So, what kind of impact could we have when we live with God's mercy and grace? Here's our big idea this morning. Our hearts should match God's heart. Our hearts should align with God's heart. So the question that began our message must be asked again. Have we allowed the sin of hatred and anger to take root in our souls? Have we allowed something to misalign our heart with God? The only lasting cure is to allow Christ to rule us, to let his love fill our hearts and our minds every day. Make sure of your commitment to Christ and ask him to give you a new love for others, even your enemies. Even your enemies. I don't know how many of us actually truly have enemies, people that want to see harm come to us, okay? I don't know if we have a lot of those in our life. But even for those people who want to see harm, want to see ill come to you, want to see terrible things happen, make sure that you ask Christ to give you a heart to love them, that your heart is aligned with him. The Bible says, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. 1 Peter 3:8. Now it's interesting. We read the book of Jonah, and it almost looks like we're missing the ending here. It looks like there should be some expectation here that we know what happens to Jonah. Does Jonah change? Does he relent? Does Jonah's heart eventually align with God's? Does the Ninevites, do they continue to repent and do what's right? Well, we know eventually the Assyrian Empire is overthrown. But I think the author purposely ends it the way he does. He ends it very simply. Should not I have compassion on Nineveh, the great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know the difference between their right hand and their left, as well as many animals? That's his ending, and I think the ending is on purpose, because you know what he's saying? Don't be like Jonah. Don't be hateful. Don't be cruel. Don't be so quick to dole out destruction. Let your heart be aligned with God's heart. So here's the question this morning. What is the condition of your heart? What is the condition of your heart? Is your heart aligned with God's? Or are you, is your heart doing something different? Are you harboring hatred? Are you harboring anger? Do you want destruction and terrible things to come to people? One of the things that Jonah needed to realize is that God values human life from the womb to the tomb. God values human life. And not only does he value human life, but we know from, I think it's the book of Peter, that it says that he desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of him. If that's God's desire, that all people know him and have a knowledge of him, then why is our heart so quick to see other people find destruction and live without hope? Because we don't like them politically, or we don't like what they do, or we don't like what they've done to us. Now, what's the condition of your heart? Lastly, does your heart align with God's heart? If it doesn't, it's time to change. If your heart does not align with God's heart, it is time. I don't waste any more time. Don't say, I'll go do it this week. I'm gonna let God do it over the next month. No. Say, God, I want my heart to align with you. I want to live out biblical values. I don't want to be a reluctant Christian who's not sharing the message that they're supposed to. I want to live this thing out every day, everywhere, in every place with everyone. Our hearts should match God's heart. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. God, we thank you. God, we thank you for your mercy and grace. God, there are times we are Jonah. God, we want you to get those we don't like. Sometimes the people that we want you to get, we don't even know. We just don't like them because of politics or what they do or how they look, God. No, God, let us have your heart. God, help us to align our heart with you, God. Do heart surgery within us. Change our hearts, change our minds, God. God, don't let us be like Jonah. Let your Holy Spirit do work in us now. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.